Everybody, welcome to our show, both on XM Radio and streaming out on Facebook Live on this Sunday afternoon. Actually, it's not afternoon. It's still the morning. We're going to continue on in our Revelation reading and commentary I'm going to give periodically as we do. Oh, my hair's not messed up this week, so that's a good thing. Let's see. I just want to say happy anniversary to my uncle and Aunt Sharon Jones. Had a 50th anniversary. I can remember when my grandparents had that. I used to go to them every time they had them. Every year it was a big family affair. Just I had no way to get up there to Virginia, but I saw all the pictures. And I wanted to let you know I was there in spirit, and I really loved seeing those pictures, Aunt Sharon and Uncle Dave, of your glorious event. Because it is a special event when you're 50 years old. When you're married to somebody, not 50 years old, but when you're married to somebody for 50 years is what I meant to say. Oh, Lord, this is unscripted. I don't have no teleprompter, but it's okay. I don't need one. But, you know, it shows, you know, the love that and devotion that you all clearly have for each other. And it shows it stand the test of time, but let's get into this message. Before we start, I want to pray first. Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful time as we come together in the house of the Lord this morning online, on the radio, and as we do this as a church of Christ online and talking about Revelation, continue on in 19. And of course, we're going to continue on here in verse number 8. Well, no, not verse number 8. We're going to continue on in verse number 10. I think it's where we left off from last week of chapter 19 and go on through 20 and maybe part of 21. Lord, please help me, Lord, to be able to say what you want me to say based on information and also what you share with me through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you do. You're so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. You're just so great. Please be with me during this time. Just may pray, amen. And awesome. All right, so I want to read here. We're going to start off where it says, Then the angel said to me, which is John Mark, says, write this very thing down. Blessed are all those who are invited to the wedding supper or feast of the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ. Because remember, we're the church, the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom. So therefore, the Lamb is who we're going to the wedding feast to celebrate, bring of honor and glory to. You remember it says he won't take communion again until he takes it anew when we're all in his presence. That's what this big feast is all about. It says, and then he went on to add, says, these are the true words of coming from God, that this I fell at his very feet to worship him. It says, but he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant. And the reason why he says that, let me clarify here, because the angel was not the angel of the Lord, you know, because a lot of times people think when the angel spoke, it was Jesus. In this case, this was just a regular angel, is what I'm getting from reading this language here. That's why he told John Mark not to do that, because he was just a fellow servant or messenger of God. A messenger or servant of an angel is the same thing. They go synopsis together there. All right, with you, okay? And with your brothers and sisters who hold to the very testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God, for it is the spirit of the very prophecy who bears the very testimony about Jesus, concerning about Jesus. All right? And we're going to talk about in the NIV. So that's where it all comes from, because we are giving honor and glory to God, and it will be a big celebration. sort of like my Uncle Dave and Aunt Sharon, you know, a big celebration. This will be even bigger than that. In heaven, we'll all be there, and Aunt Sharon, Uncle Dave, they'll be there with me. We'll all be celebrating my mother, you know, and everyone else, and they'll all be there in EL. And we'll all be celebrating this wonderful feast. It's a wonderful time. Give Jesus glory and honor. So we're gonna all be there at that wonderful event, and all our friends and all the people who have been baptized into Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the Heavenly Father, the Heavenly Warrior, defeats the beast. Well, we're going to talk about what that is. All right. Let me read this. Let me read what the Bible says here. Then I saw heaven standing open. And there right before me was a white horse, whose rider is called the Faithful One and True. With justice, he judges and wages war with the enemies, the evil one, and the demons, fallen angels, and Nephilim. His eyes are like blazing fire. Now, this is God in his real form here. You know, I don't think this is Jesus here. This is God coming on a white horse. And on his head are many crowns. Let me take that back. I'm sorry. This isn't God here. Well, he judges and wages war. Yeah, this is God here. The fire. He's coming to judge, coming to condemn those who've fallen away and those who, you know, who mocked God and cursed him. So, and on his head are many crowns. His eyes are like blazing fire. And on his very head are many crowns. Now, we don't know, a lot of these crowns can mean a lot of different things, but let's read on here before I tell you about that. He has a name that is written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe that's dipped in blood. And his very name is the Word of God. See, this is not Jesus here. This is God coming in full power and glory and coming in full resolute to bring justice and to set things straight once and for all. He's coming in his full form to fight these enemies. So it's not Jesus here. It's God in his full power, full glory. And his name is the very Word of God. So he, all right. Says the armies of the very heavens followed him, riding on white horses also. Now these armies are the angels. Okay, it's God along with his angels. The armies are the angels. Okay, the heavenly hosts. Now the many crowns represent the tribes of Israel. Okay, the tribes of Israel also contained in those crowns. Some people say the very nations of the world that were there during the time when the world ends could be also part of that, as they broke it down into tribes. How everybody was forced by the Tower of Babel to be in different places in the world, that also could tie in along with that as well. Because we all remember before the Tower of Babel, we all spoke the same language. We all could understand each other. You know, before, according to the Bible, there were no barriers of language or culture or anything. We all knew and spoke the same language. Let me read on here. So, and then when the Tower of Babel came, that all changed. You know, lots of things changed there. People were, you know, they were put on different places of the globe. The continents were torn apart. We all spoke all these different languages. So, there we go, on white horses, and they were dressed in fine linens. This is white and clean. Okay. Coming out of his very mouth is a sharp sword. See, this is the Lord coming here to judge, just like he says. He's not coming here for vengeance, no. He's coming here to judge and set things straight, put things in place once and for all when the final end comes. This is not Jesus. This is Now you could say this, some people would say this is Jesus. Well, it could be Jesus too. Could be God and Jesus together, but they're all the same because they're all God, really. So it could be, you could say Jesus and you wouldn't be wrong, but you also can say God because God and Jesus are the same. All right, in this sense. So coming out of his very mouth is the sword. We know what the sword is, which is to strike down the very nations, that he will rule them with an iron scepter. Now he treads the winepress, you know, of fury, of the very wrath of God Almighty. Says, and on his robe, and also on his thigh, he has this very name that is written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this isn't Satan here. This is Jesus. This is God and Jesus. Synopsis, all God, really, in all capital letters, coming to judge and to just bring justice and to closure and to judge the nations with the winepress, to smite all evil and all wickedness once and for all, and to separate the wheat from the chaff, you know, the Christians from the fallen, and the ones that have fallen away. And all those things will all happen during this time. It says, and then I saw an angel that was standing in the sunlight, who cried in a very loud voice to all the birds that were flying in midair. He said, come gather together for the great supper of God. Okay. So that you may eat the flesh of wings, or the flesh of kings, generals, and the mighty, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free, slave, great and small, that means rich and poor, great and small, have a lot of power and authority, and those that don't. They're all included here. So then I saw the beast and the kings of the very earth and their very armies that were gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and all his armies. Says, but the beast was captured. Okay, and with the very false prophet, that's the Antichrist, we always know what that is, the true dark Christ, Antichrist, that is known as a false prophet because he's not the real Son of God, he's a mockery of what Jesus was. If Jesus was the real deal, Antichrist is a fake, okay, forgery, counterfeit. Okay, who had performed the very signs on its very behalf. That's the Antichrist there, it's talking about there, you know. Alright, so let's head on here. It says, with these very signs, he deluded those who had received the very mark of the beast, okay? All right, and worship its image, because when you receive the mark of the beast, you will be worshiping the image. The two of them were then thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning fire, meaning they were thrown into hell. That's what God is saying here. It was opened up, and they were thrown into the lake of fire. The rest were then killed with the sword coming out of the very mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves, feasted on their very wicked flesh. Okay, Now we're here where it talks about the 1,000 years. Okay. Says, then I saw, this chapter 20, we're starting right now. Then I saw an angel that was coming down out of the very heavens, having the very key to the very abyss that would be hell, the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain that was in his hand. He then seized the very dragon, that's the devil, that ancient serpent, the devil, and the Antichrist, you know, who is the devil. The dragon is always the devil, and or Satan, to make sure people understand that so it's clear, and bound him for a period of 1,000 years. Then he threw him into the abyss, hell, when that time was up, and threw him in the abyss of hell, or a holding chamber, and locked and sealed him, you know, it over him to keep him from deceiving all the nations anymore until 1,000 years were up or have ended. Okay, let's talk about that. What happened was, as we know, in the Bible, we know that Satan was actually thrown along with his angels that fell. They were thrown into the abyss, or into a place that's not hell, but I said hell, but it's like hell. But they were thrown into a place, and they were locked in chains, like it says, the angel chained them all up, along with the fallen angels. They were also put in there as well. And see, as they were in there, they could not get out. But see, now that time is ended, now in our time, so that's why the world is becoming increasingly more wicked, like the Bible says in Revelation, will happen before Christ returns, the real Christ, Jesus Christ, that is, before God returns, really. Then I saw the very thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And then I saw that all the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their very testimony of righteousness about Jesus Christ. And that's all the people who were persecuted. I would think that's not just the disciples, but that's all of the church people, the true church people that make up these people that John Mark is talking about here. Because he's the one that's seeing it and writing what he's been told to write by the angel, the serpent, you know, the servant, not servant, but not the serpent, but servant or messenger of God, same angel that's been talking all this time. Is because of their very testimony about Jesus Christ, and because of the word of God, they had not worshipped the beast. I mean, they rejected the beast, which is what we want to do today. It means we're part of that same regiment, so we could face death or persecution. You know, hopefully all of us don't, but all these people, it's given an account of all those people who died in the name of Jesus, which was not in vain. Now, because no death is in vain. We know it's, anytime you die, it's horrible. Physically, you're going to die, but spiritually, God says you will live for eternity, which is a lot more than forever, because forever is a short period of time. We know that when we look up eternity, there's no beginning and there's no end. So that's what God's speaking about. We'll be with him for eternity, not forever. All right, and they had worshipped, and they had not worshipped the beast, sorry, or its very image, and had not received its mark on their foreheads, or on their hands. Okay, they come back to life. They come back to life and realign with Christ, they're aligned with Christ in 1,000 years, okay? And what does that mean? They come back to life with Christ. So when the 1,000 years is up, Christ is going to return and raise all the saints and all the true believers from the dead, is what it's saying here. And they will join with Christ in the air. And they will be with Christ, is what it's saying here. Okay? So after that 1,000 years is up, and the devil, the dragon, and his antichrist rule for a little while, then this is what will take place in a very short time after that. So then the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended or over. This is the first resurrection, okay? It says, blessed and holy are all those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Well, reign with him for 1,000 years. Okay. Now let's look at what it says here concerning the details about the very judgment of Satan. Well, before we go into that, let's look at what it's saying here. What is God saying here? What is this angel saying to John Mark in the book of Revelation concerning what we just read? A lot of people don't really talk about that. But blessed and holy are all those who share in the first resurrection. That's us. It's talking about what's going to happen to the true believers there. The second resurrection has no power. Okay, the second death has no power over them. Because we're not going to die. See, that's what it's saying. We're not going to die. The death, that won't have no power over us. So all the Christians, that's what's talking about us. So that's, you know, that's something to be happy and very excited about. And we'll reign with him for 1,000 years. So we're going to raise up and we're going to be judging the wicked with God. It looks like what it's saying here for 1,000 years. Of course, that 1,000 years is not a literal number, as you know. When God says numbers, when numbers are used in Revelation, they're never really the number actually as being taken literally. It's like a, you know, hyperbole, but that's what it's talking about. So the dead in Christ will be raised, and they will reign with Jesus and God for 1,000 years, and they will judge the wicked and evil. That's what it's saying here. After we're raised, this is what we're going to be doing, because we've already received the judgment, okay? So this judgment will happen for 1,000 years, but not literally 1,000 years. It will happen for a certain amount of period of time, but it's not really literally 1,000 years. Okay? And a lot of times people think that number is literal, but these numbers are not literal. It's like for a certain period of time, but it doesn't say exactly what that time is. So 1,000 years is used just to kind of represent the time. Because you know how God says that 1,000 years could be 24 hours a day? You know how God looks at time and how he looks at time, how one 24-hour day could be like to God 1,000 years? So it's like a very short period of time. That's why I say that. It's not really literally 1,000 years. Let's go on to where it talks about the judgment of Satan. Okay, in chapter 20, verse 7. And NIV I'll be reading from. When 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison, where he's been held all his time, which I believe, actually, from what we're seeing all over the world, the way things are happening, it's what's happening right now. He's being released by the CERN, you know, project, because they want to open up the veil, you know, where Jesus broke the veil from the sky down, but now they want to break it up from the hell, or where the place where they're held, up to heaven. And that's what they're going to do through CERN, I believe, is what's doing that. And they've been running that thing, and you know, it's been releasing a whole lot of things, you know, from that rim, and it's probably going to pull up the spirit or the demon, or really the beast of Satan, you know, the father, because the Antichrist is already here. Okay. So well, that's where we're at right now. It says it will go out to deceive all the nations in the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, and to gather them all up for battle. In a number they are like the number is so big, like the sand that's on all the seashores. All the seashore is how much a number is. It's so much of a great number. And they marched across the breadth of the earth, and they surrounded the very encampment of God's very people. The city he loves. It says, but then five more came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was then thrown into the lake of burning fire or sulfur, which that would be hell. So the place I said before was hell, I was wrong. It's a place like hell. It's a holding place, what I meant before, but this is where Satan will be thrown into the lake of sulfur, which is really hell. You know, God will open up hell and will throw them in at that point in time. All right. Where the beast and also all the false prophet, and the false prophet, which is the Antichrist, had been thrown, they will be tormented day and night forever and ever, which means eternity. They will be tormented day and night. They'll be tormented indefinitely for, you know, all time after that point for what they have done. Then we have the very judgment of the deed. Let's look at that. The judgment of the deed. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was then seated on it. The earth and all the heavens have fled from his very presence, and there was no place for them. And then I saw the dead, both the great and the small, that were standing there right before the very throne. And all the books, they're not really books, but all the stuff that God could see, you know, instantly he could see it or view it, they were opened. Okay. Then another book was then opened, which contained the book of life. So this is the great judgment that happens. The dead were then judged according to what they have done, as I have recorded in the books. Okay. It says the sea gave up all the dead that were in it. So all the people that died from the flood and before that that died, and even when people's ashes were dumped in it, they were all given up, the ones that fell away. So there's a judgment here. What I think this is talking about here, this point, the people that were in Christ were already judged first. There's two separate events here. And the second event is the people that have fallen away, and the ones that are that don't believe in Jesus. That's what it's talking about here, the second judgment. Then it says the dead were then judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Okay, I think I already read that. So the sea gave up the dead that was in it, and the death, or Hades. See, that's the people that have fallen away. Because anybody that's gone to Hades, or the people that have fallen away, are those people who refuse to believe in Jesus. So there's two judgments here. The first one we read was the ones for the saints, you know, the Christians, the true Christians, believers. And this is the one for the damned. Because Hades, if you go to Hades, that's a place that's like hell. So the Bible is very clear here what it says here. Hades gave up the very dead that were in them. And each person was then judged according to what they have done. Okay? So this is the falling away. Remember, we had two judgments here. We had the one of the saints that's already taken place. reigned and judged the wicked for 1,000 years with Jesus and God, and then Hades gave up the dead, and then they were judged. That's where we're at here. So just kind of, okay, so gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. All right, 14. Then death and Hades were then thrown into the lake of fire. That's hell. It's always, lake of fire is always hell. The lake of fire is the second death, which is where you're cut off from Christ. And every time you hear second death, that means you are cut off from Christ and you die a second time. Christians will, like it said, has the second, stop! The second death has no power over, you know, over the Christian, the true believer. So you got to understand, this is really, really hard stuff here, but I understand it. Because this is what it's always said to me when I learned it in church. There's two types of judgments that will take place, but it's not two separate events. They all will take place at the same time. So you have a time where the Christians will be judged first, okay? And then you have this time for all the people that fell away from God, that never came back or repented, and all the people that chose not to believe in God. That's talking about Hades. They'll be, you know, given to God, and they'll be judged, okay? After we've been judged. Okay. So they were thrown into the lake of fire. The second death is the lake of fire. It says, anyone whose name is not found written in the book of Lamb's book of life was then thrown into hell or the lake of fire. Okay. So when Bible says lake of fire, it's talking about hell, literally, in Revelation. Okay. Now, we're going to start, now we're going to shift to chapter 21. Thank you, Lord, we can get to that. Let me see where we are on the time counter. Okay, we're doing good. Yeah, we can cover this. Chapter 21. And then I saw a new heaven, and then I saw a new earth. Now, this is not a literal heaven or earth. I want to stop right there. This is an earth that's been built. Remember when Jesus said at the day of Pentecost, or after the day of Pentecost, where he said before he enveloped on the cloud, chapter 4, book of Acts, he said he had to go back to finish preparing a place for us. That's what it's talking about here in chapter 21 of Revelation. It's not a real literal heaven and earth that's here. Now, some people get that all twisted and say, well, God can come back and rebuild the earth after he destroys it. No, that's not even written in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that here. Now, the earth will be totally destroyed by fire, literally. And the universe and this heaven will be totally destroyed. Because this universe is only made for us. And then once it's totally destroyed, then there's no need to have it anymore. So this dimension will be totally, you know, closed off. And so that's what I believe from studying the Bible. And of course, you know, this he made all this stuff wonderful for us. But this is not a literal heaven and earth. When it says, then I saw a new heaven and earth. Okay. It says, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. That's this one. But that's what I'm saying. What I just said is exactly what the scripture says here. Okay? It all will pass away because God has, you know, burned it with fire, the plasma fire. And it will all be no more. It is no longer, there's no any seas on it. And then I saw the holy city. That's God's place that he built for us. That's the new heaven and earth, which is not of this realm or dimension. It's in a different place. It cannot be seen by anyone except for those who are in paradise. But we'll get to that. Okay. The new Jerusalem is coming right down out of the very heaven. All right, from God, that was prepared as a bride that is beautifully dressed for her very husband, the future her husband. And I heard a very loud voice from the very throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. What I mean is that the barrier that separated us in this world is no longer there because we're in heaven with God. This is heaven here. This is where God really is, where he lives. That's where we will be in the same place where he is what it's saying here. So that's why it's coming down out of heaven. Okay? Dwelling place is now among the people. And it is, this is talking about the true Christians, the first century church, the way. It's talking about all of us who are really descendants and all the people of the 12 tribes of Israel. They're also in this spiritual reunion of all of us coming together worldwide in Christ's body as a universal church and body. I lost my place, so give me a second here to find myself. Then he will dwell with them, and they will be his very people. And God himself will be with them, and he will be their very God. And he will wipe away every tear from their very eyes. And there will be no more death, no physical death. Was talking about, or mourning, or any crying, or any pain of any kind. It says, for the old order of things, it's referring to the earth that we're on right now, has passed away, meaning it's been destroyed, it's no more, okay? Alright? So he who was seated on the very throne said, I am making everything all new. And then he said, write this down. For these very words are trustworthy and true. Okay, very true. Okay. He said to me, John Mark here is saying, this is what the Lord is saying now. Now we're talking about the Lord God is speaking now to him. He said, it is done. I am the Alpha, being the beginning, and the end, Omega, that's the end of all things, and the beginning, and of course the end of all things, okay, and of course, the thirsty will give water without any cost from the very spring of the water of life to all those who are victorious in Jesus' name. Will inherit all this, and I will be their very God, and they will be my children. It says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving people, the vile, all the murderers, the sexual immoral, and all those who practice magic and sorcery and all kinds of arts, the idolaters, the idol worshippers of other gods, what it's talking about here, and all the liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of fire, of burning sulfur, which is, when it says lake of fire or sulfur, that means hell. This is the second death. See, it says second death, that's the final resting place for those who have rejected the call, who have rejected the gospel and have rejected the message of Jesus altogether, and they fell away or never came back or never believed in the first place, they will be thrown into the second death, is really hell, because that's the second death where they're cut off from Jesus and cut off from God. All right, so now we're going to be talking about things concerning about New Jerusalem and about the Bride of the Lamb, which is, you know, the bride is the church, but the Lamb is Jesus always. In Revelation, when you hear bride of the Lamb, Lamb is Jesus. All right. So one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls of wrath that are full of seven last plagues came over to me and said to me, come, I will now show you the very bride, the church, that's the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain that was high and that was great and high, and showed me the very holy city of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, not the earth, but the heavenly one that God made for us Christians, that was coming down right out of the heaven from God. And it showed up, and it showed with all the power and glory of God, and its very brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, and more precious than any jewel you could imagine. It was like a jasper stone, and as clear as crystal, clearer than a diamond, you know, clearer than any jewel you would even know, but really, really precious and beautiful, more than anything you could ever see or have ever saw. And it had a great high wall describing the city here, heaven, with 12 gates that were on that wall. It says, with 12 angels at each gate. At each gate, there was an angel. So there were 12 angels at the gates. Okay? On the gates were written these words. These words contained the very names of the 12 tribes of Israel. See how I said? That's where I jumped ahead. But the 12 tribes of Israel is spiritual. This is a spiritual Israel. It's not a physical Israel, like the country Israel. You know, this is the universal body of Christ worldwide here. All right? So when you hear me say that spiritual, that's what it's talking about. There were 3 gates on the east side, 3 gates on the north side, 3 gates on the south side, and there were 3 more gates on the west side. Okay. The wall of the very heavenly city had 12 foundations, and on them were the very names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay. Disciples or apostles. The angels who talked with me had a measuring rod that looked like gold to measure the very city, you know, to tell you what the dimensions were, you know, kind of like to tell you what it was, and its very gates and its very walls. And the city was laid out like a square that was as long as it was wide. He measured the very city with this gold rod. I found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. So it would have the same length and same width as the 12,000, is what I would assume there. Okay? That measurement, the 12,000 stadia, is wide and high and as long. Okay, so the angel measured the very wall using human measurements, and it was 144 cubits, high or thick. No, not in the high, but thick. And the wall was made up of jasper stones, and the city of pure gold. So the city had a lot of gold, you know, the city of pure gold. As pure as glass, meaning you could translucent, you could see right through it and walk on it. And all the stuff had a lot of gold there. Its very foundations of the city walls were then decorated with every kind of precious stone you could think of. The first foundation was jasper. Of course, it goes on a list of them. The second was sapphire like looking, and the third was agate, and the fourth was emerald, and the fifth was onyx. That's really pretty. If you ever had onyx, it's shiny black stone. And the sixth was of rubies, and the seventh was of Chersolite, and this is beautiful, so beautiful. And the eighth was Beryl, and the ninth was Topaz, and the tenth was Turquoise, and the 11th was Jacinth, and the 12th was Myrianthus. I might have butchered some of these. Myrrh. And the 12 gates were 12 were made of 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great secret, wait a minute. The great street of the city was made of gold, as pure as transparent glass. So you can see right through it, like I said earlier. All right, I did not see a temple in the very city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are consisted of that very temple, or were the temple in the city. So the city does not need no sun or no moon to give it, to have it shine on it. It says, for the glory and the power of great majesty of God gives its very light. And the Lamb, Jesus, gives also its lamp or burning light. So all the nations will walk by its very light. Okay. And the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its very gates ever be shut. It says, for there will be no night there anymore. It says, the glory and the honor of all the nations will be. Let's talk about heaven here. Okay, it's not here. Okay, we want to make sure we understand that. All right, will be brought into it. Okay, nothing that will be impure. There will be no impurities will ever enter these gates. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? Okay, so I think we're going to stop there, because the time, there is what we have here, time sensitive. So we'll just stop there and we'll continue this next week. Dear Lord, Father God, thank you, Lord, for helping me to be able to break this down, the Book of Revelation, to be able to read this with your guidance and your power and your wisdom, to share what you really are talking about in ways that's not always presented. When we read it, it's hard to understand. Lord, help me, Lord, that I was able to break through some of those barriers today with your guidance and your power and your hand, Lord. Thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so make sure you take your communion. You know, we do that to remember what God has done through his death, burial, and resurrection. Thanks a lot for everything. Thank you for listening, guys. And we'll be back with another powerful message of God next week. We'll finish up with chapter 22 of the Book of Revelation. Everybody have a good day. And God bless you all. Thanks for listening and watching this morning. All right.
11:39 a.m.
All right, here we go, folks. Go ahead and end this transmission here. And we'll go ahead and end this too.